Salam maju Johor to YB Lim Tian Soon, or yes. Normally you are known with YB Asun.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. So the Johor State Executive Council member,
yeah,
under Health and Environmental Portfolio. Okay. And also to Mr. Siva Kumar, Green Earth Society Johor President. So I'm Dr. Lai, one of the GES committee member, and I'm the moderator for the podcast session today. Okay, I'm glad that we are all here today for a podcast session under initiative joint effort by YB Link's office and also Green Earth Society. So first of all, maybe I would like to ask Mr. Siva to introduce about GES, who is GES, and also how's your idea come with this kind of a podcast session for today?
Thank you, Mr. Lai. Green Earth Society was formed on 2013 out of necessity. Though I initiated the idea and mooted the registration of Green Earth Society, it was supported well by the communities. And we had a lot of experts joining us in ensuring that environment in Johor is safe. So, but the most important thing about Green Earth is we are non-controversial, and we always look at engaging with the government and the especially the ESCOs to ensure that the objective of engaging is always maintained by the association. We run a lot of activities every 2 months once. And we have been, so far from 2013, we have done hundreds of activities throughout the year. And we are thankful to the corporate and corporate world, especially companies who have sponsored our products, that is mainly mud balls and other products like fish fries, mangrove saplings, plants, and we have been able to engage the communities and do well in several activities that benefited the people of Johor and the in particular the environment.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Siva. So next, I would like to get YB Asun an opportunity.
Yes.
Maybe you can introduce to our viewers.
Yeah.
What's your portfolio, your
yeah.
role as responsibility under your portfolio? Yeah.
Okay. Hi, everybody. Dr. Lai and Mr. Siva. I'm Ling Tian Soon, or well known as everybody calling me Asun. Okay. I'm in charge for the health and the environment's portfolio in Johor. So at this portfolio, so I need to as actually these two portfolios connect burden. Normally, the works of the burden is come from the federal. So I'm the middleman of representative of Johor to become the middleman between our communities, between our peoples in Johor and the federal government. As an example, that environment issue, if anything happens in Johor, I can be the middleman to be the to communicate between the federal and the state levels, especially in the agencies. As well as some of the NGOs like the GES, mostly active in Johor, if they need to some initiative or some aid from federal government, I can also be the middleman to become between to make the communications flow more fluent. So this is okay. Hello everybody, salam maju Johor, Dr. Lai and Mr. Siva. First of all, I need to say thank you because give me the great opportunity to be here with you all today. This is a great opportunity for me, and especially for Johor, we're sharing to the people what we did before and what our target or what our initiative will be do for the next maybe coming year. So I'm in charging for health and environment portfolio in the Johor. So as a state health and environment exco, I'm in charging any method regarding to health and environment in our states. So if anything related to the environment, like maybe some pollution happens or some target or some what call it, the rules we set, like EIA we set, or some initiative regarding our sustainability is all under my portfolio. So it's my regarding to my responsibility is to make sure regarding to environment initiative to make everything succeed, especially for our new targets, making our Johor Maju or making our Johor fully developed when 2030, as well as when our state developed, we also want to achieve the target to our state to become the sustainability state. Okay,
okay, thank you, YB Hasun. So my first question to YB is looking at Johor our station now.
Yeah.
We are seeing a lot of development.
Yeah.
So particularly in the economics activities,
yeah.
Like the data center, manufacturing is coming in,
yeah.
Either local investor or foreign investor, even like Johor Singapore's special economic zone.
Yeah.
So meaning we have a lot of upcoming development industry is building up.
Mm.
So what are the challenges? What are the challenges actually we are facing in Johor, mm-hmm. in terms of impact to the environmental? Can you share with us?
Yeah. First of all, we can't deny the development of economics in Johor is growing now. Cannot say growing, it's booming now. I think many of the industry choosing Johor, especially in the Johor and Singapore Special Economic Zone as their base. So many of the investors, they were trying to bring in their invest in Johor, especially in the JSSZ areas, because our friendly of the policy. So first of all, I think before we chosen the investment or we encourage them to invest in Johor, we must choose which industry we prefer.
Okay,
first of all, like maybe we're choosing some industry related to the sustainability.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we can choosing some industry related to the biomedical, biomedicines, or some aerospace medicals. That is why, aerospace industry. That is why now is the time for Johor to transform. Maybe previously, we are very reluctant to the, what call the manufacturing.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe some of the manufacturing are what we call that as a out school or old school manufacturing industry. So this is time we transform our state's economy as this opportunity, we can bring in more highest qualities, investment and industry into our state. Then what's our challenge? I think for Johor, for this timing is our people's mentality. If we're talking about the environment or the pollution happens in our state, we can divide into two. First is regarding the pollution of static pollution like rubbish. Our state already work at that spend a lot of budget. How do we clean up our river? How do we clean up our ocean's rubbish? That is one of our initiatives. The second is regarding the chemicals pollutions. So this is the time we tie our rules, we enhance our rules to the industry. How are we going to do the enforcement to guide our industry, follow our rules to reduce the pollutions happen in our state? So for me, the people's mentality is very important. How could we solve the issue of the pollution of the static rubbish and the chemicals pollution? So this is all about the mentality. This is the great time for us to communicate with our people, to educate our people, how to work at that, to kesedaran, how to call that already?
Conscious. Yeah, yeah.
How could they conscious about our environment?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you, YB. I think YB has shared with us from the perspective as a administrator,
yeah,
or state government's representative. I would like to hear from Mr. Siwa.
Mm.
You as a NGO and also we say citizens. So what is your observation in terms of challenges that we face amidst the manufacturing economy is booming? So what is your observation?
Sirai and YB, our concern is on the, coming to the data centers where we have read in the media that there are going to be around 50 data centers. And that is our main concern, whether these data centers, they require a lot of treated water.
Mm.
Now, From our previous GreenNet Society findings, even the main source of water is from the Johor River. And we were told by experts that only about 50% of the Johor River can generate water for the Johor, whole of Johor state. We admit there are a lot of other rivers which still can be tapped for water. And it all depends on, of course, we understand that we need huge funds to build like treatment plants, dams, reservoirs, etc. But what we hope is having a treatment plant set up near data centers so that the existing treatment plants and supply for the housing estates, mainly for the people, will not be disrupted. We understand the issues raised by the state, as we have been following up keenly on this. And in addition to this, we realize there's going to be a Johor-Singapore special economic zone, which also need a lot of water because the industries are high-tech. So these are some of the concerns that GreenNet Society decided to engage the government, the state leaders, especially, I must say, I thank YB for being so approachable, friendly, and ready to deliver the actual efforts taken by the state in order to address the concerns of the Johorians.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
I think when we talk about the data centers development in Johor,
yeah,
we can't deny data center industry is one of the most consumed water in the world, for that huge quantity.
Yes. Yes.
But yes, especially the treated water. But for Johor, I think we are the earliest stage to launch our own data center development guidelines.
Okay.
Maybe other states haven't, mm-hmm, but Johor we already launched. And not only that, we also set special task force. We put every of the related agency together.
Mm-hmm.
So before we approve one data center entry to our state, they must through hold the process first,
mm-hmm,
to comply all the compliant with all the rules and regulation we set.
Mm-hmm.
As like an example, just now Mr. Siva said about the water supply issue. But before we approve, we are going through all the process. Is it the agencies in charge of the water? Is it we have the work that the balance of the water can be applied, can be approved to the data center, or we will ask the data center to comply our complement. For the example, maybe they can use the untreated water or some work that to recycle water in the industry. So this is one of the effort of our state,
mm-hmm,
to work that to launch a new development plan or guideline to this industry. Yep.
So maybe we have discussed a lot about the water.
Yep.
So in case of energy, how about in energy? Because data center consume a lot of electricity.
Yep.
So I'm not sure, is it under state government's portfolio or is it under the federal government's? Maybe you can share with us. Yeah.
Actually, regarding the power supply related to the federal government.
Yeah.
But as state government, we also not run off the responsibility to make sure our state power supply is enough or sustained for everybody's. So for those industrial entry to our state, first, like just now what I said,
mm-hmm,
we already set up the task force meetings. We're putting every agency or related power supply, water supplies agency, put into same room and same table we discuss before we approve anything. Is it our water supply and our power supply enough for the use or not?
Mm-hmm.
If enough, then we're going to approve. Second, we put some new rules and regulation they need to fulfill, like maybe ESG.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they need to fulfill some requirement for green power.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe some of the industry, they start to invest in the renewable energy for their own industry.
Mm-hmm.
So we will put some percentage there for them to fulfill the requirement.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yep. Okay. Thank you, YB. So talking about ESG, let me give a chance for you to promote Johor's investment.
Yep.
So maybe you can some sort of like tell the investor,
yep,
what kind of criteria for those investors when you want to invest in Johor.
Yep.
So in terms of ESG, what kind of compliance you must deliver before the state government approve your applications.
Yes.
Maybe you can share with us. Yeah.
For compliance with the ESG, I think first of all, I think our Malaysia's Bursa, they come out the guidelines.
Okay.
If any company, a listed company, they need to fulfill the requirement from the Bursa. Okay. From our state, mostly we will encourage the industry or encourage the investor to as a volunteer's effort to doing together with the state to take care of our ESG. Okay, we encourage the industry player to join effort with our state government to put some effort to take care of our environment and sustainability. It's mainly we got that as a volunteers. Okay, so before we talk about the ESG, when the investor come in, then interest in invest in Johor, I think they need to fulfill some requirement first. First of all, they need to get approved from our federal government, MIDA, for their investment. Second, they need to start to search their land. After they get the land, they need to fulfill some requirement for the land requirement, what you call it, like the zoning, everything. So thirdly, they need to submit KMs to the local government. When they submit KM, together with some reports, EIA, and EIA, we call it as an Environment Impact
Assessment.
As well as they need to submit their TIA. Yeah. Both of the report, they need to submit to our PBTs to seek for the approval. After they operate their industry, their investment, their manufacturing, everything, they can start to operate. So if they want to fulfill the requirement of our Bursa, they need to start to doing the ESG.
Okay.
ESG is a, but for our state government, we haven't to set the rules or to set the policy, they must to fulfill the requirement yet. We yet to set up it first.
Okay.
So now for this status, for these states, we encourage the industry to do together with the state government as a, what call that, as a voluntary compliance. Yeah.
Understand. Okay. We talk about a loss of the investment, the industrial level. Maybe we talk about more to our citizen level.
Yeah.
In terms like clean energies, new energies,
yeah,
clean water. So the world has been talking much a lot about like EV cars, right? Solar energy. So what is the initiative by the state governments to promote this kind of new energy? What we call
okay.
It? Yeah.
I think for our state government, we already have a very clear directions. We put it in our Johor Green Deal plan, was launched by 2022. We launched the plan. And in the plan, we new set, we called it a committees. We called it Green Committee and chaired by our MB, our Menteri Besar as a chairman. And I'm the co-chair. So in these committees, we will discuss the policy for our state. Like example, just now we talked about the mobility in our state. So first of all, before we encourage people to buying the EV cars,
okay,
we need to settle or we need to set up or needs to work at that to complete up the EV charging station.
Okay, okay.
For time being, we only have just about 300 of the EV charging station.
Okay.
So if we encourage people to buying to use the EV car, if we can together with the EV charging station, I think people won't choose the EV car.
Mm-hmm.
So we just set a target. We give the target to every PBT. At least when 2030, we at least must have 1,245 EV charging station in our state. We try to make people's life easier, especially to who's are using the EV mobility. As well as we already set some targets to our public transport provider. Some of the vehicle, they need to change it to the EV vehicle before 2030.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the target we set.
Mm-hmm.
So thirdly, so in the committee, we also set the target for our state renewable energies target.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, For our state renewable energy, we just generate about 190 megawatts. Then we plan it, another 600 will be coming up. So for time being, we start to engage with the who's are interest in the this industry, who's are interested in invest in the renewable energy. So we already set some, we locate some places in our states that is the places who are suitable for this industry. So now we start to cooperate with some industry player or some investor and who are willing to invest in this industry. Now we are in the very beginning stage for them to doing some study in our state. Is it possible we can generate more green power or the renewable energy in our state? Okay. So in the committee, we set a target and we set a policy as well as our state is the earliest state,
mm-hmm.
earliest stage to have this so-called some committee or some launch some policy. And it is our state effort.
Okay, thank you, Abby. So, Mr. Siwa, maybe you can share with us a bit on this topic as well,
I
in terms of new energy.
I agree with YB that we have to look at green energy and alternate energy for our state, especially our industry. But what we are very happy to notice, TNB has come up with incentives to encourage residents.
Okay.
You know, as you can see everywhere, mostly now people are affording and setting up the rooftop solar. And this is very encouraging because it will undermine or rather reduce the dependence on coal, coal-fired electricity. So this is very encouraging for the state. And we also hope the industries will use more of this solar energy for the energy sources in industry to reduce the emission of carbon in the air, you know. So these are the efforts that Green Earth is really happy about. And we also hope that the government, especially the state, will come up with more incentives for even the lower income group to set up solar at their homes and and smaller industries.
Yeah.
Because now not everybody can afford the 20,000 to set up a solar in their rooftops, you know. So there must be more effort by the state to come up with more affordable solar type of setup in their homes and industries.
I think one thing can be added is that I think for last year budget, PM already announced. We will start to collect carbon tax start by 2026. I think this is one of the initiative of our government to encourage especially the industry to start to using the green power or renewable energy. So I think we can take the opportunity to encourage industry to start to invest in those renewable energy industry first.
So definitely we can see that we have a lot of efforts by the state government to promote the new energy, clean energy. And I think all these kinds of initiative cannot be achieved by governments, state governments alone, right? State governments own effort alone. So maybe you can share with us how can NGOs like GES, even public, other public sector, even private sector, to collaborate with state government in order to achieve a livable place in Johor that for everyone.
I think this is the time. For previously, I think many of NGO agencies, they are doing their things in silo. I think actually they did a lot, but people don't feel it because of everybody are doing in silo. I think this is time. We sit together with every NGOs or every agency under our state government or some corporate side. I think for last week, I just chairing a meeting. I put everybody together. At least we start to collect data, what they do and what they done. So after we collect the data, that is the opportunity we sit together, we're sharing the information and we get the outcome from everybody. Is it we have the discussion? Is it any possible we can be to cooperate each other between the agencies and the NGOs So like NGOs like GES, we will welcome you to sit together with us as a state government, as we'll call that, a lot of agency below our state government. I think this is a great opportunity. We sit together and we do some effort together or some initiative together. The important thing is we want to make our state not only in the developed for the economic side,
yeah,
for our sustainability, we also can be okay that can be enhanced. Yeah.
Okay, thanks, YB. So, Mr. Siwa, from the perspective of NGO side, how can you support the state government in this case?
First of all, we have tried about a couple of years ago to set up a secretariat within the EXCO office.
Okay.
Things were moving. Unfortunately, the government changed, state government changed. After meeting YB, he was encouraging, and he was even thinking of a task force, just the first meeting itself. We encouraged that because if all the stakeholders can get together, we can address some of the issues which are being faced by the industries and the people. Now, for example, if we have shortage of water, and if a shortage happens and people get angry, if the government can engage the industries and the NGOs and the people, they will not show their anger because they will understand the system and the effort done by the state in order to address the water shortage or the energy shortage in the state. So the idea of YB just now saying that we have to work as a team in bringing all the private sector, public sector people, sit down, and then state will be in a safer position to address the environmental impact and also be able to get the support of the people, and there's a calamity.
Okay, okay, that's good. Yeah. Okay. Maybe I think probably this is the last question to you. Yeah. So this is your first term. So I think it's come to third year.
Yes.
Yeah. So we can see that has been done a lot under your leaderships in terms of environmental issue. Maybe you can give a summary from the past 3 years once you're on board.
Yes.
So what kind of projects under your portfolio you have delivered to the environmental, and what is your next plan for these terms?
Okay. First of all, I in charge portfolio for environment just about 1.5 years.
1.5 years, okay.
Okay. Because we have got that restructure the portfolio under all ESCOs.
Okay.
So after I took over the portfolio of environment, I think I'm doing a lot of engagement with the NGOs and many society and the private. I need to listen the voice from them.
Actually, they did a lot, but people don't feel it because of everybody are doing inside. I think it is time we sit together every NGOs or every agency under our state government or some corporate side. I think for last week, I just chairing a meeting. I put everybody together. At least we start to collect data, what they do and what they don't. So after we collect the data, that is the opportunity we sit together, we're sharing the information, and we get the outcome from everybody. Is it we have the discussion? Is it any possible we can be, what about that, to cooperate each other between the agencies and the NGOs? So like NGOs like GES, we will welcome you to sit together with us as a state government, as a lot of agency below our state government. I think this is a great opportunity. We sit together and we do some effort together or some initiative together. The important thing is we want to make our state not only in the developed for the economic side, for our sustainability, we also can be enhanced. Yeah.
Okay, thanks, Wabi. So, Mr. Siwa, from the perspective of NGO side, how can you support the state government in this case?
First of all, we have tried a couple of years ago to set up a secretariat within the EXCO office.
Okay.
Things were moving. Unfortunately, the government changed. After meeting YB, he was encouraging, and he was even thinking of a task force, just the first meeting itself. We encourage that because if all the stakeholders can get together, we can address some of the issues which are being faced by the industries and the people. Now, for example, if we have shortage of water, and if before a shortage happens and people get angry, if the government can engage the industries and the NGOs and the people, they will not show their anger because they will understand the system and the effort done by the state in order to address the water shortage or the energy shortage in the state. So the idea of YP just now saying that we have to work as a team, we bring in all the private sector, public sector people, sit down, and then the state will be in a safer position to address the environmental impact and also be able to get the support of the people if there's a calamity.
Okay, that's good. Yeah. Okay. YP, I think probably this is the last question to you. Yeah. So this is your first term. So I think it's come to 3rd year.
Yes.
So we can see that has been done a lot under your leaderships in terms of environmental issue. Maybe you can give a summary from the past 3 years once you on board.
Yes.
So what kind of projects under your portfolio you have delivered to the environment, and what is your next plan for this term?
Okay. I think first of all, in just portfolio for the environment, just about 1.5 years.
Okay.
Because we have looked at restructure the portfolio under all East Coast.
Okay.
So after I took over the portfolio of environment, I think I I'm doing a lot of engagement with the NGOs and many society and the private.
Mm-hmm.
I need to listen the voice from them. Actually, we're doing a lot, especially with our NGOs. But unfortunately, their effort not felt by the people and not maybe don't know by the government. So I take the opportunity to put everybody together to listen to them to and engage with them.
Mm-hmm.
So now we start to put everybody together in one line. We do the effort together. Let people feel that that is the first important. Second, for Johor, especially the rakyat in Johor, they need to see our state not only develop in our economics, they also want to feel our state also develop of the mentality of rakyat. They want our state more mature. They want our state become more clean. So, I think for this past 1.5 years. I succeed to persuade state government to allocate some budget to doing our river cleanup. For this year, we allocate about 7 million to doing our river cleanup project. Second, I also persuade our Yang Amat Berhormat to approve a budget of 2 million for us to clean up the most polluted river in Johor. Then we will start to do by this year. Hopefully, the result will be coming up by next year. If we succeed this procedure, maybe now in Malaysia we have 14 most polluted river in our country. 9 of them in Johor.
Okay.
So this year we're focusing to solve the 2 river in Pasir Gudang side.
Mm-hmm.
We hopefully through our effort, through our allocation putting there, we can move up from the list. If this effort succeeds, hopefully we can copy and paste to add to others polluters river in Johor.
Mm-hmm.
So that is our effort.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully we can succeed on that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the result can be come out next year.
Mm-hmm.
So we just wait for the result.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, well done, YP. So I hope the upcoming projects will be very successful.
I think this was never happened before.
Yeah.
Previously, state government want to use their own money. Spend about millions ringgit for the river cleanup. To upgrade the water's quality for the polluted water. That's it. Never. This is the first time we using our own state budget to put the initiative there. So I think this is the first try. Mm-hmm. If this initiative succeed, hopefully we can bring it to other space.
Okay, yeah, good. Okay. So Mr. Siva, so maybe you have some words to our viewer, so to encourage them, how can we as ordinary citizens play our role in supporting the governments to achieve the all these environmental initiative?
Yeah. Thank you. Once again, YB, when he took off today's session, he pointed out something very valid. He said the awareness of the people is still low as far as addressing the environmental issues. Today, if most of our rivers are polluted, it's simply because a lack of awareness among the people, because even now you can see people throwing rubbish and the industries throwing chemicals into our river, but they're forgetting that it's our drinking water.
Mm-hmm.
So, we have to be solution-based. No point we just simply focus on doing some Gotong Royong, it's not going to carry anyway. YB just now addressed several new initiatives from the state, and it's very welcoming to hear from him such initiative, especially seeking budgets to fight pollution. And we are happy in the state that several malls and mini markets have stopped using single plastic, and they are encouraging people to bring their own bags. That is very encouraging. Single-use plastic must end.
Mm-hmm.
It's no use because plastic pollution is heavy. If you can see in the Facebook and even TikTok, the number of oceans heavily polluted, and our rivers are also polluted.
Mm-hmm.
So the effort to clean up some of the rivers is very encouraging, because if we don't have clean water which comes from rivers, then big trouble. So education by the NGOs, starting young in schools, is very, very important. But I must bring this out also. Most NGOs don't have the funds to do the activities.
Mm-hmm.
We are, for example, Green Earth depends solely on CSR. But the CSR is not is direct to the solution, or direct to get the younger generation to instill the love of environment in them. So we have to go to the schools. And for that, we need some kind of funding from the state to tackle all these issues. You know, when we start from the young, they will take on to their parents, and the parents will also get involved in keeping the Johor environment safe and sound for all of us to live a very, a sustainable life.
Thank you, Mr. Siva. So with that, I would like to conclude that, in fact, we are in the right tracks. So we can see that Johor government, they has the plan, they has the initiative. We are on the right track to achieve a sustainable environment to live on.
I think for Johor government, we are willing to do, willing to try, and willing to do.
Yes.
That's the most important thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So we can allocate our, as a state, we don't have much income,
mm-hmm.
but we willing to use some budget to put into
great.
The environment's methods.
Great. 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 But I believe that all those initiatives or projects cannot be achieved successfully without the support from NGOs, even the Johorian and ordinary citizens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think what we are doing today for environment is actually we are building up a more sustainable environment for the future,
yes.
for our next generation.
Yeah.
I hope all of us in Johor have this kind of mentality and conscious.
Yes.
So thank you.
What we do is for our next generation.
Yes,
yeah.
yes,
okay.
For our next generation. So thank you, YB, for your sharing, and thank you, Mr. Siva.
Yeah,
so
you.
We
thank
hope
you,
to see both of you in the next session again.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Fantastic. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.